Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? Them some thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness.
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanek with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
What's up?
Oh, nothing.
I didn't like your ahoy today.
There's nothing going on.
Come on, bring it. What are you talking about?
This has been...
everything going on.
We're all handling
I'm going on.
Everyone's handling it differently. I'll admit, it's been a tough weekend for me. I've had a hard time. I've had a hard time sleeping. It's just a hard time kind of wrapping my head around everything. And it does. It feels weird a little bit to sit down and do... a sports show. It feels weird to
sports.
Be. Well, whatever it is that we do, it feels. Today was a weird day as I was coming in and thinking about what happens to the show. How do we go about it? How much do people want to hear about it? It was strange. I'll admit this is.
Well, I could hear it in your ahoy.
Yeah, this has been one of the strangest and I'll say toughest days to me that I've had coming on and doing the show now for. 17 years, give or take, what I've been doing this, having conversations with my kids about it has been weird. Something that we've talked about quite a bit. And it's just, like I said, it's how anyone can say that it's not strange or it's not difficult or it's not challenging for anyone in this country right now to me is I think you're just being dishonest or disingenuous with yourself or you just don't care, and that's terrifying to me.
All right, well, I can tell you that we have a fairly normal show today.
Yeah.
There is some stuff to discuss about when sports may fire back up for us, which we need more than ever, right?
Well, we've always tried to do our part to talk about what obviously people are talking about, but at the same time give a distraction because we're not a political show. We do talk about social issues, but for the most part, we've tried to pride ourselves over the years on being a bit of a distraction, but
speak for yourself.
there are times when it goes beyond that. And I think it's then again, disingenuous to not acknowledge what's going on and try to pretend that this is a normal day.
Well, COVID's still going on. We've got the latest on that.
Yeah, someone said, who would have thought COVID could blow a 28-3 lead in the fourth quarter?
Great
because,
tweet.
Because, boy, that's on the back burner right now.
Yeah, all right, so here's the thing. We have Black Guy.
Yeah.
Hey-o. Rashad Taylor.
Is in a stunning development, the three whitest guys in Portland. Maybe we're not the best to offer a varied point of view on race relations in our country.
I think you guys do okay.
We
not
try.
Too bad.
Not too bad. Well, that's I'll take that as a compliment.
That's like asking me to talk about childbirth and my experiences through it. Why? Because I watched someone give birth?
You've seen it. That's enough, right?
Not quite the same thing.
I saw it on video in like eighth grade.
Yeah.
You know, the sex ed class.
Yeah, so you're an expert.
I think my video was much, it's probably the same video. They haven't updated that thing in
Don't think so.
No.
Yeah, I think there's only one.
No, there's only one.
One ever.
It's made in like 77, and it's just like, it's on an old film strip, 8mm.
All right, so here's what we're thinking. So Rashad Taylor of 1080 The Fan fame does a show with Mike every Sunday. What I'm thinking, Rashad, Well, first of all, for the listeners, our show will be back to normal. There's no normal now. Like, yeah,
this
right?
is the
like,
new normal, man.
This is just so weird. It's like with COVID and now this. And yeah. So, well, in other words, what I'm saying is, like you said, the distractions are coming. We'll play fart drops and all that good stuff. But we can't just come on and ignore what's happening in the country and around the world. And so we thought to bring Rashad on because, Rashad, my approach is I think we're at the stage of all of this where being a white guy who's well aware of my white privilege, nobody cares what I have to say, right? If I had hot takes about any of this, I should keep them to myself, right? Because I don't, it's not doing any good.
Well, see, here's the thing. I kind of think the opposite. Like, your white privilege kind of, we would like you to speak up, you know, because I think really in situations like this, it's going to take those white allies to really get things moving and really start that conversation. And race is such a difficult thing to talk about with people because it forces people to really look at their own prejudices that they may have themselves, whether they mean to have them or not. Maybe it's the way you grew up. Maybe it's just, you know, whatever, but it's just always been one of those things like, you know, nobody wants to talk about it. So everybody sweeps it under the rug and continues to move forward. But until those people really decide to come forward and say, this is a problem, how can I, as a white man, a white woman who doesn't, I can't empathize with you like that. Like, I want to know what we can do to change things. That's the only way that's going to happen.
Now, that I agree with. What I was more coming from was like the idea of the rhetoric. It seems repetitive and tiresome.
Of course.
Coming from, right. And that's why, so I'm not saying that I can't do good in our chairs. Mm-hmm. We're very aware of that if we can harness that well enough. But I think having a guy like you in is
a different voice.
Way more
effective
from our perspective than just us sitting here.
And especially at a time
opinions.
Like right now, like, you know, this past week, and I don't know if you guys felt it, but I absolutely did. It was the weirdest week. Like, there was the incident in Central Park with the bird watcher and the lady walking her dog. Mm-hmm. There was the incident at an office building when three black men were in their like a shared kind of office space and they were working out and they were somebody called the police on them for looking suspicious or whatever the case is. And then of course George Floyd was kind of the firing cap. You know, that was kind of the thing that made everything, you know, blow up. And really what you've seen over the past couple of days is a multitude of these different situations that have kind of from Michael, Michael Brown to Philando to everybody that's been Sandra Bland to all those things that have happened. And now all of a sudden
it's sad that every one of those is a name that, you know, and you can go down a laundry list and you're just scratching the surface.
It's become a part of, you know, really who we are as America. And like, so those names are ingrained in our memories, you know, kind of like the way an athlete or something is. Like, you know that name, you know, the phrase "I can't breathe" has been something like, even if you, like today I was doing an interview with a local, you know, a rap artist, and he was struggling to figure out his name. He said, "I can't breathe," Eric Garner. Like, it was one of them things that phrase is closely associated to him. And I think what you've seen is just people that are fed up, people that are scared, people that are incredibly angry about everything that's happened. And it's just, there's been no repercussions for it, you know? And luckily we've seen these officers at least be, you know, charged with third degree murder. Okay. That's good. They're charged with something, but we've seen so many instances where that hasn't been the case. And these officers who, and let me say this, and I said this yesterday on Sports Sunday, if something goes bad, please believe that black people or whomever else, we're calling the police. Like, we're not, you know, we're not waiting for things. Like, we want to be safe too. So we're calling the police. So there, in no way do we think every police officer is bad or every police officer is out to hurt or kill or maim black people. Much the same, but every black person isn't out to hurt and rob and murder and rape and pillage the way that people think that they might be ready to do. So we understand this. We know this. And really at this point, man, we're looking for answers that don't seem to come. You know, I'll be real. 37 years old, celebrating my birthday a little earlier last month. I have a 9-year-old son, or he'll be 9 soon. I had to have a really difficult conversation with him this past Thursday as the riots started and everything. And he was asking questions like, why is this happening? Why are they doing this? And when I should be talking to him about the birds and the bees or when I should be talking to him about his favorite superheroes or his favorite subjects and during quarantine school. Instead, I have to tell him that unfortunately things are different because we look this way. And I have to really tell him how to encounter the police and how to encounter people that have a certain level of, I guess, power over them. But the sad part is, no matter what I tell my son, no matter how poignant I am, no matter how much I tell him to comply and do everything the right way, yes, sir, no, sir, what can I do, hands up, whatever the case is, there is a chance that none of that will matter.
It breaks my heart because I never had to have that conversation with my son. And the only, you know, only experience I've had with any of this is kind of through third parties, but I've told the story before and it really changed my perspective. Is I had a teammate of mine who was African-American, was a good guy, and we used to hang out all the time. And we got pulled over once at 12:30 at night, and I was driving and pulled over to the side of the road and didn't think anything of it and started rummaging through my glove box because I knew I was speeding and was going to have to produce my license and registration. And the look on his face telling me to get my damn hands on the wheel, the guy was terrified.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there thinking to myself, dude, this was a legit a guy that I was scared of. Like, he just was a guy that you didn't mess with.
Yeah.
And to see the absolute terror on a grown man's face that I was reaching into a glove box.
Yeah.
To get registration. And it never dawned on me that experience, just the idea of getting pulled over in his life, was so much different than mine. And that experience you have about talking to your kid, that just absolutely breaks my heart. And I just feel like a lot of people, if you grow up in a white community, not only does that never cross your mind, but you don't know anyone that has that. Right. And so when you hear these stories, it doesn't relate to people. And I think it's hard for them to let that sink in. I think in a lot of people's minds are like, what are you talking about? Things are great. Because in their world, it is.
Yeah.
And they don't look outside of their own.
And it should be noted that, man, America's awesome. Like, being an American and being in America, like, the privilege that we have as Americans, the opportunity, like, it's awesome. But sometimes being black in America, it's just not as awesome. And at least, you know, again, as we have those allies that, again, understand that things aren't great for those black and brown people. Like, we need to figure out what's going on. I think we can start getting somewhere. But I'll be real. I'm from Portland. I spent most of my life here, from the, you know, outside of some college and living in Las Vegas and stuff like that. This is my city. To watch it burn the way it has over the last couple of days sucks. I hate to see it. Yesterday I was really emotional when I came in and did the show with Lynch. I was kind of able to calm down a little more, but then it happens again last night. Like, this is not the way to destroy, you know, our city and destroy certain things. Like, I understand, like, I'm hurting, just like you don't have to be black to hurt right now. Like, and that's one of those things. Like, you don't have to be a certain race to understand what's going on is wrong and understand that everybody deserves the same human rights as anyone else. And so, like, right now, like, I woke up and the sun was out, you know, after such a gray weekend where the weather just fit the weekend so well to me. It was just dark and gloomy, like a scary movie. Like, any scary story starts off dark and stormy. That's what it felt like these past couple days. And I look outside today and it was a nice day. And I just woke up with so much joy knowing that, number one, the people that I know, the white, black, they've reached out and said, man, I love you and I appreciate you, man. Looking at Suk right now, a guy who most of you guys know is this, man, Suk is this tough guy. To see him with this emotion on his face right now, man, it's touching to me. It touches my heart. To see Isaac Ropp, who again is the funny guy on the station, and everybody knows, to know
did you hear that?
You're funny. Yeah. You're pretty funny. I mean, this guy probably doesn't think so, but I mean, you are. But to see this emotion come from these people, man, it speaks volumes of really their heart and really the heart that I wish everybody could kind of try to adopt over the next little bit.
All right, so this is Isaac and Suk starting off the show with Rashad Taylor. We're going to do one more segment with Rashad, then I know he's got to get going, and then we'll do some sports, tell you what's the latest on baseball coming back, NBA, all that stuff. Also, they're up at the International Space Station, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that
we'll talk about that.
Kind of, if you want something good over the weekend, yeah. I give you that. That was really cool.
So we have some distractions, but I want you to think about this question, Rashad, for when we come back. Because I think my approach to this, as I told you, is I just want to ask questions. I have questions. I want to ask questions.
Yes, sir.
Because I want to help, but I also, I know we have a radio show. Other than that, I don't necessarily know how. So I think a one way, I guess I do know, is to just ask questions to guys like you, disseminate it. Let's listen.
Yes,
we need to listen. So the question is what is the main thing that white people need to know about being a Black American? Okay. If you can put that into words for some of our listeners when we return, that would be fantastic. We'll start there.
No problem.
Gotcha. Rashad Taylor is with us. We'll do one more segment with Rashad coming up next. Stay with us. It is 3:16 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we'll get to the Fan Personality Series poll question number 8 today, next segment. But we've got Rashad Taylor in here talking about the weekend events, really the last 4 or 5 days. And so my question is, Rashad, help us. What is the main thing white people in the U.S. don't understand about being a Black American? Let's start with that.
Man, that's a loaded question, because there's a lot there. Being Black in America, number one, I asked if I told people what it was, if they would actually believe me. You know, like, would you actually 100% be like, wow, that's an interesting perspective? But the truth is, like, it almost sounds fake at times. Like, being Black in America means that you can't be too ethnic. I can be just ethnic enough. Like, for instance, my name is Rashad Taylor. When I send a resume, and I've done this before, and I won't name the company just for, you know, I've sent a resume, same one. My resume's pretty impressive, right? So I sent one and sent another with a different name. Rashad Taylor, it's a Black dude's name. We all pretty much know. And I sent one that was like, you know, Sean Spears, and just to see what would happen. And I never got a call back. Sean Spears, though, got that same call. Same resume, same everything. Why wouldn't that happen? Like, being discriminated against because of your name, certain things you guys read a lot. Obviously, you work, you know, in media, so reading is important. I'm sure you've read stories about natural hair not being allowed in certain job types, certain job titles. So my natural hair that grows curly out of my head isn't professional enough to work certain places. I can, you know, people can take the style of African Americans, the look, the full lips, the everything, and make it chic. That's what it becomes when it becomes a part of white culture. Like, it's okay to have little twisties in your hair if you're a white woman, but when you're a Black woman does it, that's unprofessional. That's not cool. Mm-hmm. You know, it looked, you know, that when Africans had braids and everything, it was considered ghetto. It was considered, you know, unattractive. Bo Derek did it, and oh my God,
guys cut their hair going into the draft combine because they want to be perceived as professional.
Yes, you know, Cam Newton was told, and this is an old story, but when he first got drafted by the Panthers, no tattoos, no anything. Like, we want to make sure and Cam's like, I'm not getting tattoos or anything, so that's not a problem for me. But the fact that you would add that, you tell me that I would have to dress myself up like that, is just kind of a part of what it is. Like, we can wear the same thing, and I think you and I kind of had a small Twitter, like a back and forth, but it wasn't even a back and forth. One night I went out, I'm on Alberta Street, I'm wearing a flannel and a beanie, and so it's regular kind of hipster, you know, Portland lumberjack gear, I guess, you know, go ahead and say that. And we're leaving this place, and this girl just knocks into me, and I'm just kind of like, you know, excuse me, just saying that. And she gets all mad, probably old drunk, calls me a thug and stuff like that. I'm like, what the hell, man? But one of the guys she was with is in the exact same outfit. And I'm seriously, same red lumberjack. I was like, I'm a thug and he's a what?
You know?
So yeah. And it was kind of like, what is that? You know, so it's just kind of navigating through certain things like that can be incredibly difficult. And I'm sure as I'm saying this now, there's probably somebody on the text line that's seething and like, man, there's no way that happens. It's a normal thing. Have you guys ever been in a room? I'm sure you've probably much closer, but in a room of just Black people, ever?
I've had growing up here, and then I grew up in Alaska. I grew up in the Northwest, and then I went to school in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
I was amongst the whitest people on earth, but sports exposed me to other cultures.
Yes.
And I've told the story, but I remember we were playing in my first bowl game, my redshirt freshman year. We were in Memphis, Tennessee, and we went to a mall, and it was a Black mall. And it was me and three of my teammates, and we walked around, and I swear we were the only 4 white people in
that
entire mall. And I thought to myself, oh my God, this is what it's like. And I went and apologized. We had a Black guy on my team, Brian McDonald, who's a good buddy of mine, who was a running back, and I went and said, hey man, I'm sorry. I had no idea. I had no idea what it was like for him walking around campus, and we would hear him talk about it, and I would kind of roll my eyes and be like, whatever.
Yeah.
When all eyes are staring at you and they're like, what the hell are you doing here? It is such an uncomfortable feeling. And so many times we just don't get the shoe on the other foot. And when you don't have it, people won't accept that this is a reality. And you're right. There are a ton of people listening to this right now that will hear something like that and they'll say you're wrong. They'll be like, no. Like, that's just your perception of it.
And that's the thing. It is. And so you've been in that. I went to Grant High School, not a very diverse high school, but at the time it was about 17% black or so. I went to Western Oregon, which was not diverse at all, you know, at that point. So being the lone black guy in a sea full of white faces, you get used to it at a point, but you learn how to navigate through certain things. And so my question is, like, living in Portland, like, has anybody ever been in a situation where you're the lone white person in a sea, in a room full of black people? I'm sure it'd be a little bit uncomfortable for you at a point. This is just the reality we live in. Everywhere we go in Portland is incredibly white. We are a very small part of the community here. So just feeling okay and comfortable going somewhere, it can be a huge issue. So, man, it's like I said, it's such a loaded question, and I could really talk for a long time. Being black in America means that I have to be mindful of how angry I can get, and how if I can't be, I can't dress a certain way, you know, I can't really have my music a certain level in my car. Like, everything that you probably wouldn't think twice about, I have to think two and three times about. Just having a nice car sometimes can be a bit of a target for you. And that's just something, as you work hard to buy a Mercedes, a Range Rover, or whatever the case is, and then you have to worry about, man, I have license, insurance, registration, just making sure, just in case I get pulled over. Like, these are things that doesn't look right
that you're driving one. Why are you driving that car? For some people,
and not for every police officer. Again, for the police officers that are out there that are doing their thing, especially right now during this time of COVID, which we all kind of seem to have conveniently forgot about over the past, you know, couple of days. Man, I applaud you. You guys are doing, man, amazing work. The ones that are actually doing the amazing work. But let's just be real. There's some of you guys that are not awesome. And we continue to see it. We saw the execution of a black man, another execution of a black man on live TV. I think when we say all lives matter, I understand some people don't mean it as a slight, but it kind of is. Because if all lives matter, then we wouldn't have to say Black Lives Matter. We wouldn't have to tell you that these people are being murdered on TV and nobody's really doing anything. There's been no convictions there. You know, there have been few convictions, I should say. So, yeah, there are people that are at this point, they are tired of explaining their blackness. They're tired of explaining the fact that we are not angry at you. They're tired of explaining that, man, we just want to take care of our kids and our families and all that stuff as well. And it seems like no matter, we have to be saints or we're devils. And if you're a saint, you're one mistake away from being a devil. And then once that happens, there's no coming back from it. And I'm just letting you know that that's not the case, man. We are here to live lives like everyone else. Yeah. And, you know, it sucks that even now in 2020 that I'd have to come on the number one show in Portland and even say for a second that, man, black lives do indeed matter.
Yeah.
You know, so.
What are practical ways, Rashad? This is Rashad Taylor with us for just a few more minutes. What are practical ways more white people can be better allies?
I just think continue to have the conversation. Be comfortable being uncomfortable. Be comfortable being uncomfortable. Know that these conversations about race, find out something about yourself that you might not be proud of.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, like, don't run away from that, man. Understand, accept that, and say, how can I be better? How can I help? Even for us, you guys, white people aren't the only people that can be racist. We can be racist too. Like, it's one of those things. So we can even have some our own prejudices and things that we kind of have. That's what history has taught us. For you guys to feel a certain way towards us, for us to feel a certain way towards you. That's just the way things were set up. Separate schools, separate fountains, separate pools.
And not that long ago.
Yeah, and mind you, this was 40 years ago, 50 years ago. We're not talking 200 years ago. So everything has been designed to keep us away from each other and to keep us at odds until we decide to really, man, have those really uncomfortable conversations, for people to really spend time with students from underserved communities and stuff like that, and let them know that, man, we're here. My question is, where are my athletes? I'm looking right at you, Blazers. Where are you? And if this is the community you live in right now, this community you serve, the ones that tries their hardest to pay you a lot of money to be, where are you? Like, I love the comments, I love the tweets and the everything, but there are people that need you right now on the front lines to stand in and say, this isn't cool. Stand in and say, man, stop burning the city. Like, we need those people right now.
I talked about this with Orlando Williams a lot. I love
Orlando Williams. Great guy.
He is so smart and thoughtful on this very topic. And he says exactly what you say. It's like, just be comfortable being uncomfortable because it's uncomfortable to talk about.
Absolutely.
But one of the things that he and I talked about a lot was when we were doing, and I did like talking ball and stuff with him. So we'd talk off the air and stuff. And he was just a great guy to talk to. And he said, my big thing was, and he agreed that, how do you have a conversation about this when so many people come from varying starting points? Like, there are some people who totally minimize this as an issue, don't even see it as an issue. There are other people who totally get it and are with you and like, what can we do? And all of this myriad of people, these people in between, how do you have this conversation that is so layered and so complex when you've got people coming at it from so many different, whether it be truly ignorant to truly enlightened viewpoints? How do you even begin that conversation?
That's the million-dollar question, is how do we get to that point to where everybody can at least just be at the table and be, I guess, mature enough to be at that table and hear the other side out? And I think that's when you're an extremist on any side, man, I'm not looking to work with black people. I'm not looking to work with white people. Like, I mean, that's how a lot of people kind of feels like, man, we can do this without you. And I don't think that's fair. I think it's false, because we're trying to get to a place where everybody has equal human rights. And I think it's going to take everybody equally talking about that. However, man, how you get that going, I think it's a matter of all those people that really make laws and really move culture. They have to be involved. And I think when people, Don Lemon the other night called out a myriad of celebrities, and not just the athletes, man, Oprah, where are you? You know, like, these are the people that, if you're going to really, you know, have something to change, it's going to take some people with some big money and can make some big decisions to be at that table to say, yeah, this isn't right. We're not doing this anymore. And the truth is, none of those people are at the table. And until they step forward and say, yes, I want to be a part of that change. Jay-Z is working with like prison reform and some other stuff. He's doing some work. So he's doing, you know, certain things. But again, just like anything else, man, it takes those faces that we know, that we recognize, that we respect, those voices, to step forward and say, yeah, I'll be a part of whatever. Who else is willing to come from your side, from the left wing, and say this? Who's willing to come from this and say, let's have this conversation? And until that happens, like, honestly, we're just going to keep talking and circling. It starts with the man in the White House, man. And not to be too political, because I know that's not what we do here, but it starts with leadership. And if your leadership is effed up, then everything else is going to follow suit. And right now you have a leadership that is not paying any attention to the disenfranchised. And this right here that you're seeing and everything is a result of not being paid attention to for the past 400 years or so.
How much do you worry that this will pass, just like
wash, rinse, and repeat?
Yeah, like, are you seeing?
I work with students, and one of them was kind of telling me, and it made me really sad. She was kind of like, oh, it's another one? Who died this time? Like, what was this? And she was like, it just happened so much. I can't even keep track. And I'm like, our kids have gotten so desensitized to everything that's happened, to where it's just like, oh, well, another shooting, another killing. So, I mean, that depends. Like, what's going to distract us next? You know, what new series is going to come out, and what new music or whatever is going to come out to where we're all paying so much attention to this? It was The Last Dance most recently. That kind of took our mind off of COVID and everything that was going on. Just talk about Jordan for 5 weeks, right? Now, what's that going to be? So I'm hoping that this isn't just swept under the rug like Freddie Gray, like Michael Brown, like everything else that's kind of happened, because please believe, when the next one happens, it's going to be big. Yeah. And so until you start getting things going right now, like, you're seeing riots all across the country, not just here in Portland,
the world,
all across the world is rioting. They're rioting in Canada. Well, Canada riots over hockey, first round hockey wins. So, like, we know that that's what they do. But I'm saying, this is not just an isolated issue. This is something that's happening all across our country. And until our leadership starts making some decisions, starts having some really difficult conversations, unfortunately, like, we're going to see more of our city and more of our country burn. And that's the opposite of, I think, what any of us want to see right now.
All you can hope for is that from this comes real change.
Absolutely.
Right? Because lives have been lost. Livelihoods have been destroyed. ugliness across the board. And if it's all for nothing, and 5 years from now, 2 years from now, a year from now, we're right back to the same point, then it's all for naught, as opposed to maybe this can finally be the catalyst for real change and we can build a better country.
Absolutely.
You know, patriotism and being an American is not blindly saluting a flag and saying we're the greatest country on earth. That just doesn't do anything. We deserve better. We can be better. We will be better. And we decide what kind of country we have. And one of my favorite quotes of all time was by Bill Clinton, who said, there's nothing wrong with America that can't be fixed by what's right with America. But we get to decide, not as white people, not as black people. We get to decide as Americans what kind of country we want to have moving forward. And I hope to God, or whatever it is that you pray in or you don't pray, whatever just sensibilities you have, that from this comes a better America. And we can look back on something that was horrific and say at least something positive, and we learned our lessons from it.
Absolutely.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you, guys. Man, listen, these are two of the best people that you'll find. I know I get asked about questions, as you can see, all the time, man. I love you guys. I love what you do. I appreciate you for having the wherewithal to have me in and be able to speak on this. Thank you.
Love you, too. Thanks for coming in. Indeed. It was important to hear from you. And keep up the great work on Sports Sunday. You're better than Mike Lynch. Like, you carry him.
I don't know if there's any better than Mike Lynch, man. That guy's pretty good. He's like Junior Swag.
You do carry me, Rashad. Don't
you just carry him?
Okay. Well, maybe I do.
From hauling his big ass around.
Hey, respect and listen. Those are my two. Like, if I'm gonna have an opinion about this, I would just use this microphone to say, just have respect.
I love it.
And just listen. I wanted to listen to what you had to say today.
That's what I wanted to do. Someone that doesn't look like you and go give them a hug. Take someone that has a different opinion than you and listen. Don't try to talk. Listen to it.
Yeah. Hear them out. Have a conversation. Exactly. It's all good. And it's okay not to agree.
That's where
understand
we're at.
It's okay for us not to agree for now. Let's make sure we get to a point to where we're at least on the common ground. That's all we can do.
Thanks for coming in. Rashad Taylor, listen to him on Sunday with Mike Lynch. We'll get going with the Fan Personality Series. Poll question number 8 next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, it's 3:41 on The Fan with Rop and Zook. Now I am local radio funny man, apparently.
Yes.
You are no longer.
No, I'm podcast tough guy.
Yes.
How
about that?
You have ascended to
funnier
local
than you.
Radio funny man.
Well, I appreciate Rashad coming in. Again, just all I want to do as a white guy is just listen and try to be better. And respect, and I think that these types of things move incrementally. It sucks, but it takes time. And this is just another step in the quest. But unfortunately, it's really hard to see progression in real time. You know, it just takes a long... We've been talking about this since the 50s, man.
Oh, we've been talking about longer than that. But
this same conversation seems to have been happening since the 60s. Well, really, the 60s, right?
Civil rights movement.
And so here we are. We just we press on. Now listen, I've got a bit of a shocker.
Okay.
Are you ready for a shocker?
I am ready.
Okay, so we're doing the Fan Personality Series of poll questions on 1080thefan.com. And we are on number 8 of 10. So we've done 7 of these until I give you number 8 here in a minute.
Is Swag still refusing to participate?
Oh yeah, he's not involved, which is fine because Rashad took his spot.
Good.
So Rashad is on the poll question.
That's to you, Swaggart.
As a fan personality.
We don't want to wreck your brand.
So here are the following Fan Personality Series poll questions that we have put up there so far. This is on our website, 1080thefan.com. Worst taste in music, what fan personality? Lynch won that going away. You remember that?
Landslide.
Which fan personality is most likely to have a secret life? Swaggart won that, and of course that prompted his disdain for this.
Which only means once again that he does indeed have a secret life, and it hit a little too close to home.
Number 3, which fan personality most likely to end up the wealthiest? I won that. Which fan personality is most like you, which I thought was a really good one. That was question number 4. Dusty, 25%.
He's the everyman.
Which fan personality is most likely to pretend he's texting while really taking a selfie? Brandon Sprague won that at 37%. Which fan personality is most likely to be searching for his phone while holding it in his hand? You, landslide winner, 40%. Let's see. Friday's was which fan personality would most likely win Dancing with the Stars? And this is the shocker I was talking about. Do you know who won that?
Well, it should be Rashad. But
he got second.
Yeah, who took it? Well, I was going to say maybe
Mike Lynch.
What?
Lynch, did you know that?
Me?
Why did you win that?
No one has seen me dance because I'm large and awkward.
This is a shocker.
Wow.
The fans voted for Mike Lynch. 27%. Landslide.
That's a lot of votes.
Rashad got 16%.
Did they think that you were in some sort of weird... Because you are kind of... You came from a very snooty, rich East Coast background. Did they think you were going to some sort of like debutante ball or what? Lynch, you did the... I had the worst car at private school. You said that on the air.
I did.
That's you. Did they think that like maybe Lynch was at some sort of weird, like I said, like...
That's why these are interesting.
Some sort of ball. Because there was a
I don't
festival.
Understand where that comes from because I don't dance often. And when I do, I feel like I look deranged.
Yeah,
so,
this is a total shocker. I don't know what they're thinking, but obviously you project some sort of...
There's a weird something. Confidence of rhythm within me that I guess is
maybe
projected on the air.
Maybe large, it's your guar.
Large Jewish white men that listen to death metal. Nothing says cutting a rug like those guys. Hey, Hirschfelder, tone it down on the dance floor. You're making the rest of us look bad.
And today's poll question, number 8 of 10. We'll have one tomorrow, one Wednesday, and then we'll wrap it up. The Fan Personality Series is at 1080thefan.com. As always, brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling, family business helping families for over 50 years, AAAIAQ.com. Today we're asking you, which fan personality is most likely to be hypnotizable? Interesting.
That is interesting.
And I don't know who will win that.
You know what? I'm going to go with Cut a Rug Boy over there, Lynch.
Really?
Yeah, well, in order to, Mike, I'm about to offend you, so I'm just going to apologize right now, right from the get-go. In order to be hypnotized, right, there has to be a certain level of...
belief.
Belief, right?
Willingness.
Willingness, what?
Gullibility?
The ability. I was going to say something a little...
You're saying that because I believe in ghosts, I would be the most likely to be hypnotized.
Yes.
I knew that was coming. You don't need to apologize.
Yes, that's right down to it. Come on. You believe that your family ate at a ghost diner once and then that ghost diner disappeared. The fact that you believe that 100...
It's a ghost town.
Ghost town.
Come on, get it right.
But the ghost diner was in the ghost town.
What's the town? What town?
Well, it doesn't exist. Yeah. The town disappeared.
Well, where is it supposed to be?
It was in like central New York, upstate New York somewhere.
So the fact that he, and by the way, this is a hundo P that he believes that. The fact that that is there, Mike is the winner as far as who is going to be hypnotized.
Okay, well, all the guys are on there except for Swigard. So vote and vote often at 1080thefan.com. Two more of these coming up. Okay, super fun times. What do we have in terms of the latest from sports, because we forget COVID is still happening.
Yes.
Like that's kind of been put on the back burner. Like you said, who is it that tweeted that COVID blew a 28-3 lead?
Yeah, I don't remember who it was. It was just someone I saw on the weekend that was like, boy, who would have thought COVID could blow a 28-3 lead to racism in the fourth quarter?
Right.
And yet they did.
So we'll get the latest on what the NBA and Major League Baseball are thinking about a return coming up next, 3:46 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, all the latest on COVID locally coming up in the news.
Oh, yeah, that's still going on.
Yeah, we got heads rolling at the state level.
Yeah.
We've got Stockwatch, 4:15. But a couple things. Major League Baseball and the NBA inching toward a restart, I guess.
Gonna go back and try that. You're like, hey, inching, beginning, start, something.
Well, baseball, it's a start.
Yeah.
NBA would be a restart.
What about hockey?
What? Who cares?
You're just not gonna include hockey.
Well, they've already decided.
Soccer, anybody?
Soccer's back, from what I gather, right? Soccer, Mike? Soccer's back, right?
I mean, Germany's back.
The Bundesliga.
The other leagues
Wait,
announced
I thought
dates.
EPL.
They announced dates.
They announced dates.
So they're coming back.
Much like
not
hockey.
Back yet.
Although hockey doesn't have a definitive date, it's just sometime after July 1.
July 1st and
like,
after.
Hey, back. And MLS is talking about maybe kicking the tires. So everyone's got tentative plans. You know, like when you're meeting with friends, you're like, hey, what do you want to do this weekend? Ah, well, we'll figure something out. But it'll happen this weekend. If not this weekend, the next.
Well, I'm not. Yeah. Well, they all have their myriad of issues. But NHL is coming back. They've got a date. The MLB and NBA don't, but it's getting closer. So the latest on the NBA is July 31 looks like the date, and they'll be in Orlando, and it'll be likely be just 22 teams They'll play a few regular season games and then a play-in tournament that will include the Blazers, and then they get to the playoffs, all played in Orlando, no fans, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it sounds like that is going to be approved overwhelmingly by owners on Thursday. Major League Baseball is the sticky one because they haven't begun yet.
No. And they're by far the most contentious, right? I mean, everything has to be collectively bargained in order to get people back on the field and get the finances worked out between the players and the owners. And everyone seems to have some sort of, loose acceptance on what's happening here other than Major League Baseball. Even the NFL, they'll have to deal with theirs eventually, but they said, okay, we'll talk about it. We know that, if we're not playing in front of fans, that's something that's going to have to be addressed. So maybe there's a problem there, but Major League Baseball is really the only one that has really run into this problem.
So,
and it's not going away.
It didn't look good last week. Again, I've said all along, I think they're just negotiating and they'll get it done. But the players have presented to the owners a 114 game plan, and they will look. The owners are already been talked off of the whole salary cap thing, so the revenue share thing is out. And the players are just saying, "Hey, you agreed to the prorated salaries. The playoffs are a sticking point because that's a lot of dough if they don't happen.
Yeah,
say you get a second wave and they don't happen.
Well, I guess that's what they're saying is that over 60%, and this is crazy, you consider 162 regular games and All-Star game and all that, they say over 60% of the TV money comes off of the playoffs.
Yeah.
So the playoffs are more important, believe it or not, than the regular season. And that's the terrifying fear, is that if you get this thing cranking a little bit and you agree to pay people their money, and then all of a sudden the second wave comes around and you can't have the postseason, or the postseason's affected or shortened, then it already takes a financially strapped baseball and it guts them.
So the players' proposal includes deferred salaries in the event of a canceled postseason. It also includes options for players not to participate due to coronavirus concerns. So it gives them an out.
Yeah.
But season would run from June 30th to Halloween.
But they're saying that this is a non-starter, that everyone knows that
it'll be rejected.
The owners are in no way going with this, but what they're hoping for is this is some sort of jump-off period. But again, here we are on June 1st. You're talking about a June 30th start. We know there has to be some form of ramp-up to the season. You're getting to a point here where a week or two is going to start making a huge difference here. And it sure seems like the owners and the players are still light years apart. And the horrible news came out today that supposedly several, and that's, we don't know what number that is, but what would you assume several means? Six, seven are more than happy to just cancel the season if the players don't agree to further salary cuts. So if you believe that number, and it's up to you to decide whether or not you think this is legit, what was it, 460,000 with no fans? That's 460,000 a loss per game that they're saying that the major league owners will take. You get six or seven guys that are already on board saying, hey, man, screw you, I'll just not play the season. Dude, that gets dicey if that number continues to grow and you get up and you get into double digits. All of a sudden, this whole baseball thing sounds a lot like, I just assume they would figure out a way. There's too much money at stake. They're going to find a way to get it done. I'm not so certain anymore. That's scary to hear that there are several owners that are just at this point saying, no, under these circumstances, I'm not taking these losses. I'd rather not play.
I err on the side of they all want the money.
Yeah.
And they'll figure it out. And I bet they figure it out in the next 2 weeks. But if they don't by mid-June, you're right. Now you're starting to get a little into dangerous territory there.
Sure.
Based on how many games they're going to play. But they could go from anywhere from 114 games down to 82 games.
Well, that was what the owners wanted originally, right, was the 82 games. The 100 and whatever that the players want, there's going to be double headers and
114. The owners got to like that, more games.
Yeah, more games, more money.
Did you see?
Well, maybe not. Maybe Jeff Passan more report? Salary.
He came out like right before the show started with what the MLB is likely going to counter with.
Yeah.
And what's that?
It's going to be a less than 82 game season, but fully prorated salaries for the amount of games they pick.
But again, if you're
they're thinking maybe 50 to 60 games. So they're still going to try to recoup some of the money they want, but they're going to prorate their salaries in full.
Yeah.
Up to 50 to 60.
I see. 50-60%.
Okay. All right.
Boy, it's just
they go back and forth.
It is a sliding scale right now. But yeah, to your it's funny, you would think that the 100 plus games would be better, but if you're not playing in front of any fans, and the TV money stays the same, then you're not. If you're an owner, you're probably just incurring more cost by putting the thing on and having to hire staff and all that because you're not bringing any gate revenue in. The big deal is for a sport like baseball, and college football falls in this too, where so much of your money comes from the gate, right? And if you're not allowed to play in front of fans or significantly reduce fans, if you're playing in front of an Oakland A's crowd every night, you're playing in front of 10,000 people. I don't know if there's a real way around that for the owners unless they're just willing to say, hey, this is going to be a tough year.
All right, coming up next, before our stock watch, Bob and Doug made it to the International Space Station.
Doug.
Strange Brew.
I'll tell you what. Do I remember Strange
Brew? Bob and Doug McKenzie.
I have a little figurine set of Bob and Doug McKenzie on my shelf at home.
Complete
with Elsinore 24-pack. That was really cool to watch. That I got a little bit of the my little kid sport science kind of pants. They all got a little tight this weekend.
Little kid pants?
Well, when you were a little kid, I loved the whole astronaut thing, right?
Well, like, who didn't?
That was a big deal to me.
Dream big.
And so I felt like a little kid.
It was cool.
Yeah, watching that again.
So we'll recap that, then we'll get our stock watch, then in the news. That's what's coming up next hour on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.